up a prayer for Alive Church. They'll be launching in October. During this weekend, Pastor Barry from Symphony is there, ministering there over the weekend. And, you know, the church is growing. There's about 40 people right now. But let's ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon the church to be a witness in the city of Montreal, in the campus. Pray for Pastor Andrew and Jesse. And again, you know, they're from Southern California, and they moved to Montreal in the winter when Jesse was like 7 months pregnant. You know, just had the baby. And so let's pray for their marriage, for their children. Pray for the whole family. Lift them up to the Lord. Pray for our live church. Let's intercede. So praying for, you know, I asked, you know, I'm talking to Pastor Andrew, you know, soon, you know, I'm asking him, can we send people there, you know, over the weekend, you know, maybe different times when they're doing things. And so if you could pray to the Lord, here am I, Lord. Here am I. Use me. Use me. To encourage. My dream for mission is not that we just support financially, but that there's a partnership, there's a relationship, and so, you know, that we will know each other, and through that relationship, God will use us to bring revival. Dedicate yourself. God, you know, do you want me to do something up there? How do you want me to help? What part? What spiritual gifts can I use, Lord, to make disciples, Lord, of all nations? Pastor Sunny is on my left. You know, she's the pastor of Symphony Church. She's married to Pastor Barry at Symphony Church. So let's welcome her. You know? Yeah. The sermon I'm continuing the Born From Above series, Born From Above. And last Sunday was the first part. It's Born to Be Still. Okay? And today, the title is Born for Power, okay? Born for Power. And the passage is from Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it says, in the last days, okay? In the last days, okay? And I believe this is the time, okay? In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, okay? All people, meaning the people of God, okay? The spiritual family, because it says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see vision, and your old men will dream dreams. And God's people said, when it comes to the demonstration of God's power in the church, there's a partnership between God and his people. There's a partnership. During the Great Famine, okay, God partners with Elijah to release rain. Yeah. When God's people were in bondage, God partners with Moses to set his people free. To break down the walls of Jericho, God partners with his people, and they walked around the city for 7 days, and on the seventh day walked around seven times and shouted, and the wall came down. The wall came down. You know, the Bible talks about the power of God flowing through his people. Okay? His people. God's power flowing through and out of his people. And that's what Ezekiel 47, the picture that the Bible gives. The temple, you, okay, his people, from the temple, this river flowing out of the temple, the river so wide, so powerful that no one can cross it. No one can cross it. And Jesus says in John chapter 7, whoever believes in me, okay, this is for you. This is for the believers. This is for Christians. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within you. Okay? And what that to me is when, you know, God flowing through us, his spirit flowing through us and using us, and his power, God wants to partner with you to release power. Okay? God wants to partner with you and I to release power. And, you know, I've been meditating on Isaiah 61 because in Isaiah 61, it's a great picture of this partnership of power, God's power, this partnership with God and his people. It's not emotionalism. It's not magic. It's not hype. It's not about just manifestation. It's a partnership of God and his people. It says the spirit of the sovereign Lord comes upon you. Okay? The spirit of the sovereign Lord comes upon you. And I've been praying through Isaiah 61 because I hunger for more. I really do. You know, I really hunger for more. There was a season where I felt like God was using me, and there was a lot of different manifestations, especially people shaking and falling. And honestly, that was not enough for me. That was not enough. I go, there must be more. And God's been, somebody challenged me at this retreat, Canvas retreat, ask for more. Ask for more. You know, because that was not enough. It's kind of, you know, I wasn't seeking, but this, I'm starting to seek again. I'm praying for more. I'm praying for more. But what do I pray? You know, how can I pray specifically for more? You know, and I realized Isaiah 61 is that prayer for more. It's that prayer for more. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captive. It's not just God, you know, when I pray, they get slain and they start shaking. No. God, your power to release from darkness for the prisoner, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all those who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, anointing them with oil of joy instead of mourning, clothed with garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. I am called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. I am called for the display of God's splendor. God's power is on me to rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the place long devastated. God's power is in me to renew the ruined city that has been devastated for generations. In Christ, I am a priest of the Lord. In Christ, I am a minister of God. Instead of shame, I will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, I will rejoice in the inheritance God gives me. And this is what I've been praying in Isaiah 61. In Christ, I will inherit a double portion in this land. In Christ, everlasting joy will be mine. And this is what's getting me excited again. You know, I was so hungry, you know, years ago, and I saw God move through me prophetically. God moved through me, even like manifestation. People were falling, but I said, is that it? I really did that. I really said, is that it? And then God took it away. And it hasn't happened in like years, right? And then I got hungry again, and I went to the AMI Missions Conference. And I prayed for this lady, and I felt it. Usually I don't feel it, but this time I felt power coming upon me and being released upon this lady. And she started crying. I mean, And then her hands start shaking, and she couldn't stand up. She was on the ground. And I knew this was a very powerful movement of the Holy Spirit. More than manifestation, I told her, your life has changed tonight. There's a transformation. There's a change in your life. There's a change in your life. And I'm going, I want more. And Isaiah 61, I want to challenge you to pray through that, that God will use to do Isaiah 61 in your life. Amen? You know, what does it mean to be born for power? Okay, say it to your neighbor. You have power and truth. Say that to your neighbor. Okay, you have power and truth. See, power can be very dangerous, you know. Power can corrupt. It can be used for evil. Power can be used to hurt others, right? And the devil is a prime example of power that corrupts. The devil uses power to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the devil uses power to lie to the world. He's the father of lies, the Bible says. And the devil used lies to put people in bondage, to divide people, to but the opposite is true of God. God uses truth. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says truth will set you free. Lies will keep you in bondage, but truth will set you free. And God uses truth to set people free. Jesus says in the last days, there will be great deception. Jesus already prophesied this. He prophesied. There will be great deception. There will be many false prophets and teachers. But for his people, we have the truth. Say that to your neighbor. You have the truth. Okay? And there's power in the truth. You know, in James chapter 1, it describes someone who doesn't have wisdom. Okay? And someone who doesn't have wisdom is someone who doesn't live by God's truth. Okay? No wisdom. They don't live by God's truth. And it described this person as somebody who's double-minded, unstable in everything that they do, and tossed by the wind. A person who don't live by God's truth, don't see the power of God in their life, is a life without power. It's a life without power. How do you overcome the storms of life? How do we overcome? Identify some of the storms that you're going through right now. How do we overcome those storms? Okay? And as a Christian, okay, you have to love Scripture. Right? You have to love Scripture. For that, for the power of God, you have to love Scripture. It's not going to this anointed person and they lay their hands on you and I have the power of God. You have to love Scripture. What does it mean to love Scripture? Okay, you feel like there's lack of power in your life? I want to ask you, do you meditate on Scripture regularly? Do you pray over the Scripture? Do you memorize it? Do you study it? Do you think about it? Do you put them into practice? What? And this is between you and God. I don't want to shame anybody. Do you love Scripture? Right? And you go, well, I haven't meditated on it. I haven't memorized it. I haven't studied it. I haven't read it, you know. Only time I get fed is when I come to Catalyst Sunday service. Right? You know, I fasted 7 days before. You know, we eat one meal in 7 days. You are weak. You're very weak. You're not strong. And the Word of God is a bread. It's food for your spirit, for your soul. You need to love Scripture. Scripture has to speak to you in the midst of the storm. Did you hear what I said? Not when you're on vacation, okay? Not when it's peaceful. Not when there's success in your life. Scripture has to speak to you in the midst of the storm. This is where you have power to overcome the storm. You need to establish a strong biblical belief system that doesn't waver in the storm. See, your power, meaning the stability, meaning your stability is based on what we believe to be true, what God says, not what the circumstances tell you, not what your feeling tells you, not the imagination, not what the world tells you, not what the devil tells you. If the biblical truth is what is true to you, despite the circumstances, and I found this to be true, despite the circumstances, spiritual attack, no matter what the storm, you will have power. Okay? You will overcome. That's the promise of Scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this truth, and put them into practice is like a wise man or a wise woman who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And God's people said, second point, you have power to transform. Say that to your neighbor. If you ask me, what's some great power from God in your life? Okay? What's a great power from God in your life? And I'll tell that person, it's not the prophetic gifts. That's not where I see power. It's not my leadership gift. It's not my preaching gift. It is the life transformation. It's not what I'm saying. It's not the spiritual gift, but true power is in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not the spiritual gift, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Why does it say against such things, there is no law? What does that mean? Against such things, there is no law. And what I realize about laws and rules, okay? Laws and rules are not really that powerful. Why? It only brings outside change, but not a heart change. You don't change heart, only the outside change, okay? And Holy Spirit power changes your heart, okay? Changes your heart. It's not through performance, it's not through law, but the Bible tells us in John chapter 15, verse 5 to 6, how that change happens. It's very simple. I think we make it so complicated how we change. How is there transformation in our life? How does our heart change? Do we have to follow all these hundreds of rules and all the rules that says, no, we can't, don't do this and do this? Is that how we're going to change? The Bible says it's not through law that we change. John chapter 15, verse 5 to 6, it says, God says, I am the vine, you are the branches. It says this, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will be able to love. There will be joy. There will be peace. There will be kindness. There will be heart change if you remain in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. So how is there life transformation in life? Well, the Bible is very simple. Further you go away from God, more stuck you'll be in your life. There will be more bondage. There will be more lies. There will be more dysfunction. Right? Now look at your life. Where are you with God? Right? It's easier to blame your spouse. It's easier to blame your mom. It's easier to blame your dad. It's easier to blame the circumstances. But my question to you, where are you in your relationship with God? Okay? Because the further I get away from God, there's no transformation. There's no fruit. The closer I get to God, the more my life is going to be transformed. There's more joy. Okay? Yeah, and so, you know, as a pastor, I do a lot of ministry. And, you know, people are coming to me, you know, you haven't taken a break in a long time. You should take a break. Different people have been coming up. In love. I know it's in love that telling me this. And you know what I realized? The reason I don't take a break, I love what I'm doing. I do. I really love it. I love, you know, ministering. I love you guys. I love this church. And so it's not that, you know, there's this joy in ministry. Right? Why? Because I connect with the Lord and I have joy. But if I didn't have any joy, right, that's when I'm going to take a break. I need to get away. Right? But I still have this joy. Yeah. And so, you know, again, the closer I get to God, the more my life changes. There's more transformation. Don't make it too complicated. Okay? Don't make it complicated. It's this activity, this or that. Okay? The challenge is, where are you in your relationship with God? Paul, before he met Jesus, he was angry. He was a legalist who put Christians in prison and who put Christians to death. But after an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, this one powerful encounter, Paul transformed. Right? He became an apostle of love. Paul started reaching the very people that he hated the most because he was the Pharisee of Pharisees, the Gentiles. Paul became a great missionary who shared the heart of God to thousands and millions of people. Okay? Look at Moses. Closer he got to God, there was more power to transform. From this insecure shepherd to the greatest leader that Israel ever had. Moses got so close to God that his face started to glow. But the problem why we can't get close, why we are far from God, okay, the Bible says why we are far from God. The Bible says we are like sheep that has gone astray. We don't stay close to God. We have this tendency to drift off. We have this tendency to wander off from God. And that's in all of us. Right? That's in all of us. And so I need to challenge you. I need to challenge myself. In difficult time, let's not blame the difficult time. Let's not blame difficult people in our life, saying this is the reason I'm far from God. But instead, during difficult time, as you face difficult people, this is the time that you need to draw near to God. When I look at my life, when I had the deepest relationship with God, was the most difficult time of my life. was the most difficult time of my life. The main reason we feel far from God is not that God moved. God hasn't moved. God didn't go on vacation. God has always been there. Say, just speak that into your heart. God is always with me. He has never not been there. God loves you unconditionally. So if you feel far from God, most likely you're the one who moved. You're the one who moved. Because the prodigal son in Luke 15, he went away from the father, not because the father was evil. There was one reason he went away from the father. It was because the son wanted the pleasure of the world. That was the main reason. He went away from the father. And we move away from God because we give our love to something else. And that's why we move away from God. We love something else. If you are far from God, being honest there, as a pastor, you think I'm always close. No, there are many times I feel like I was far from God. Many times. Okay? I still struggle through that. But this is the challenge. If you feel far from God, come back home. Okay? Come back home. The prodigal son went away from God, but you know what? He could have came back home anytime. The father was waiting for him every day and looking for him, waiting for him every day. Come back home. See, in that passage, when the son went away from the father, he said, give me my share. Okay? Give me my share. But when he came back to the father, he says, make me a servant. Make me. When he went away, give me. When he came back to the father, make me. Okay? One thing I challenge you. Spend less time treating God like a vending machine. Give me, give me, give me. Spend more time loving God with all your heart. Okay? Make me. Okay? Make me. Okay? You understand this about God. You're the one who forgives me. You're the one who redeemed me. You're the one who restored me. You renew me. You sanctify me. You revive me. So spend more time. Make me love you more. Make me love you more. And God's people said. And the third point, you have power to impact the world. Say that to your neighbor. And I don't know how many times I brought up this passage. Acts 1:8. Okay, Acts 1:8. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? In the ends of the earth. In the context, the New Testament church, if you look at the New Testament church, had many barriers in reaching, in being a witness, in impacting the world around them. Okay? New Testament church had many barriers. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit and the church. Apostles were constantly being put in prison, and I was thinking about that. That's pretty serious, right? I remember one time we were all scrambling, all stressed because I got COVID. I found out I had COVID Saturday, and I was supposed to preach on Sunday. And we're like, what do we do? And so I videotaped the sermon. But here, they weren't, not just COVID, they were put in prison. They were put in prison and flogged. There were conflict between the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews. They were human beings like us. They had conflict. for superficial reason. There were deep, burdensome traditions that they had to live through. There were culture, there was this strong culture of legalism and ritual that they had to overcome. Around the church, there was blatant racism and sexism. You gotta understand what the historical background was like back then. It's nothing compared to right now. It's bad now, but it was really bad back then. The racism and the sexism. There was Roman oppression. There was worldliness and corruption and greed. The churches in the Grecian city, there were idols in every block, everywhere. False god, hedonism, sexual immorality, just out the door of their house, everywhere. They were the poor and oppressed all around them. Sick and dying were everywhere. There was poverty, hunger, and injustice. And the disciples, in the context of the New Testament church, right, they weren't special. What other people said, especially the Sanhedrins, when they saw the disciple, you know what they said? They are just regular people. Huh? Regular people. Meaning, they made mistakes like you and I. They got tired like you and I. They got frustrated. They got scared. They got angry. They got depressed. They struggle with their weakness. They struggle with their failures. Yeah? But here's the encouragement. Even with all the barriers, weakness, and failure, the power of the Holy Spirit made them a witness. Okay? Made them a witness. You know, some people want power to control. Some people want power for fame. Some people want power for money. My challenge to this church, to Catalyst, hunger for this Holy Spirit power, not for fame, not for control, okay, not for money, but to be a witness. Say to your neighbor, I want to be a witness. And what does it mean to be a witness? God's going to, okay, if you desire that, okay, if you desire that, instead of looking at everything that's going on around us and is confusing, listening to all the lies, the up and downness, the storms. No. In the midst of that, I want to be a witness. God's going to give you the power to impact the world around you. Okay? God's going to give you the power. See, that's what the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit who lives in you, okay, will give you power to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We need to believe this together. If that passage is not true, Acts 1:8, that's our theme passage for our church. If it's not true, we should stop church. We really should. Right? I believe it is true. If you want to be a witness, God's going to give you power to change your marriage. Jerusalem. God's going to give you power. You know, humanly, you know, you look at your family. There's so much going on. I don't know. It's too overwhelming. No, God will give you power to be a witness. In your home, God will give you power to be a witness. You look at your neighbor; they don't even say hi to you. you don't even know the neighbors. No. God will give you power to be a witness to your neighbor. If you desire this, God will give you power to be a witness in your workplace. God will give you power to be a witness. In the world around you. You know, The believers in the New Testament church, you know, again, they were ordinary people. They didn't stand out. They were not perfect, thank God, you know. They were not perfect. They had their issues. They had their failures. They had their fears. They lacked. They struggled with their sinful nature. They struggled with the world. They were spiritually attacked. But they had the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's made all the difference in the world. They had the power of the Holy Spirit. They believed no matter what, no matter where, no matter what the circumstances, they believed that they had God's power to impact the world around them. Right? And this is an example how I know that they had this belief. There was a persecution that came to the church, that hit the church. Stephen, one of the leaders of the church, was martyred. Right? Yeah, he was martyred. And just think about, you know, put yourself in the, your pastor's martyred. Right? The church was ravaged. Soldiers went house to house and dragged the Christian family out of the house, men and women, to prison. And they put them in prison. And then they were all scattered. Family lost their home. Christians were running away to save their lives. Right? And it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. That just blew my mind. You just lost your home. Your family member might be in prison. You don't know where you're going. But as you are running away, they're sharing the gospel. They're talking about Jesus. And it goes specifically to this one person, Philip. Went down to the city of Samaria. I think he went to Samaria because he thought, you know, they won't come there to look for me. Because the Jews at that time, they would avoid Samaria. Always avoid Samaria. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And what did he do? He felt sorry for himself. Went away from God. Was disillusioned about his life? No, no. He went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord pay attention to what was said, being said by Philip. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Now, verse 8. So there was much joy in that city. There was much joy in that city. How does that apply to us? The world around us is going crazy. Okay. You and I are facing storm after storm after storm after storm. And it's bringing into surface our fears, our insecurities, our sin, our imaginations are going crazy. There's conflict. There's weakness. In that time, the devil will come and tell you, you can't. You're too weak. You're too broken. There's too many bondage in your life. You're too sick. Don't try. You're going to fail. Don't believe. Don't have hope. The devil will whisper to you, just give up. Just give up. My challenge to you and my challenge to myself, believe. You and I have power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness. You and I had the power of the Holy Spirit to impact the world around us. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And God's people said, okay, let's pray.